The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And a leper approached, did him homage, and said, "Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean." He stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do will it. Be made clean." His leprosy was cleansed immediately. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus says to the leper, "Go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses prescribed." You know, St. Augustine had a lot to say about this passage here, and I'm going to share it with you here this morning because I think you'll find this interesting. St. Augustine said that this passage reminded him of confession, reminded him of confession in three ways. Here's the first way. In the Old Testament, if you were cleansed of leprosy, and it didn't happen very often, they say that nobody was healed from leprosy since the days of the prophet Elisha, but it was written down in the laws of Moses what to do if someone was healed of leprosy. If you were healed of leprosy, you did three things. You approached a Levitical priest who cleansed you in a ritual cleansing. Then you offered a sacrifice. Then you went and rejoined the community. Augustine says that's the exact same thing that happens in confession. You approach a priest and you are cleansed in a ritual cleansing, namely the words of absolution. Then you offer a sacrifice, which is namely the penance that you do, and then you rejoin the community. I think a footnote is needed here because Augustine assumed something that a lot of us tend to forget, namely that serious sin, that is mortal sin, does in fact cut you off from the community of grace. And it's very much like, was clear as day to him, it was just like leprosy. You already know that lepers had to live apart from everybody else in camps and colonies, and they were cut off from the rest of the community. Augustine assumes that everyone knows that's true about mortal sin, too. I think we need to be reminded that mortal sin cuts you off from the life of grace. You can't receive the sacraments. You can't receive the Eucharist, not until you're first cleansed. But there's another way, he said, in which this reminded him of confession. And he said that leprosy has three consequences. Leprosy is disfiguring, leprosy is contagious, and leprosy is difficult to cure. And he says the exact same thing is true about sin. It is disfiguring, contagious, and difficult to cure. First of all, it's disfiguring. I think we forget this. Every single sin you commit makes you less and less like the divine image God made you to be. I'm sorry to say this, but none of us here today, unless you are perfect and have never committed a sin and have never said anything but yes to God your entire life, none of us here is who we're supposed to be. It's disfiguring. Secondly, it's contagious. We tend to forget about this. But the funny thing about sin is that it leads to copycatting. You already know this is true. No sooner have you seen someone else sin or commit a sin or suggest a sin that you begin to think, well, maybe it's okay. Once upon a time back in college, there was a back door to the cafeteria. And if you could get in the back door, you didn't have to pay for your food. So what did people do? They snuck in the back door. With enough people sneaking in the back door and you're walking along with your friends, what do you think your friends say to you as you approach the cafeteria and want to sneak in the back door? They say, "Oh, come on, everybody's doing it," as if to suggest that makes it okay. It's contagious in that sense. One of the toughest things, though, about sin is that it's difficult to cure. And that's because there's this strange mental consequence of committing a sin. The more we commit a sin, the less we think it's a sin. And we actually become numb to things that once would have horrified us, just like leprosy makes you numb. You know the story of St. Damien of Molokai? I won't retell the story now, but they say that he knew he had leprosy when he stepped in a pot of boiling water and he didn't feel any pain. His foot was completely numb. And I guess you could say similarly, you know you've got spiritual leprosy when you're committing sins that would once have caused you, you know, to recoil in horror, and now you think, oh, there's nothing wrong with it. Right. Very difficult to cure. Good news here, though, is confession reverses all of that. And here's something that most people don't realize. Just going to confession. Shows God enough sorrow to give you forgiveness. Did you know that? Please don't think you have to gin up within your soul enough emotion or whatever to tell yourself, well, that you're sorry enough to go to confession. The church actually teaches that just getting in line and going is sorrow enough for God to work with, right? But the third way in which this passage reminded St. Augustine of confession is the most shocking of all. And that's because of the most shocking line in this passage. It says that Jesus reached out and touched the leper. Maybe you already know that no Jewish man would ever touch a leper. Why would no Jewish man ever touch a leper? Because it would make him ritually impure. There are all kinds of rules that would make you ritually impure. You couldn't touch a dead body. You couldn't even touch a gravestone. And you certainly couldn't touch any bodily fluids like blood or anything else that you might come into contact with touching a leper. Jesus reaches out and touches the leper. Does Jesus become ritually impure? What do you think? Yes or no? No. Why? Doesn't Jesus live by the law of Moses? Of course he does. Jesus obeys the law of Moses. But the moment Jesus touches the leper, he's not a leper anymore. Jesus has the power to take what is impure and make it pure just upon touching it. And the most shocking thing that Augustine says about this passage, and it's something we need to pray about and meditate on, is that the same thing happens when you bring God your sins. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how bad it's been or for how long you've been doing it. If you bring it to God, he has the power to make something good come about as a consequence. He will make pure what was impure. All you got to do is bring it to him. Kind of reminds me of the feast day that we celebrate today. Feast of the first martyrs of Rome. A little background to this feast day. The first martyrs of Rome were converts from Judaism, as well as Gentile merchants and freed slaves. And they all died most unjust deaths because in the year 64 AD, there was a terrible fire all across the city of Rome. More than half the city of Rome was burned in this fire. The rumor mill blamed Emperor Nero. I don't know if Emperor Nero was guilty or not, but I do know that what he did afterwards was very, very bad. He turned the tables and blamed the Christians, absolutely innocent people. He said, the Christians are responsible for the fires of Rome, and there was mass executions of perfectly innocent people. But look what God did with those mass executions of perfectly horrible crime. Don't get me wrong. But the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. In God's mysterious providence, even that horrible crime, even all those sins, even all those unjust executions, they made the church strong. Would the church be as strong as it is today if it hadn't been for the blood of the martyrs? Not by a long shot. It reminds me of a story, you know, back in the year 2005, the late Archbishop of Chicago, Cardinal Francis George, he was there on the balcony of St. Peter's Basilica the day that they elected Pope Benedict to be the successor to Pope John Paul II, and he gazed out across the crowds mulling about in St. Peter's Square, and the obelisk that marked the point where St. Peter had been executed in the days of the Emperor Nero. And by the way, Feast of Peter and Paul yesterday, today's feast day is placed where it is because two of those first martyrs of Rome were Peter and Paul. And he thought to himself, we just elected the successor of the martyr Saint Peter. Where's the successor of Nero? Nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. God does something like that with us. Every time we bring him our sins, the evil, the harm, it's not like they never happen, but he makes it as though they're nowhere to be found, and an even greater good comes about as a consequence. The leper says to Jesus, Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean. Let's make that our prayer as well, and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. First martyrs of Rome, pray for us.